Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Pastors Tom and Paula Graves. You're here at the perfect time, as God knew you would be today. We pray what you're about to hear blesses you, challenges you, and draws you closer to your Savior. Once we've reached the end of today's time in God's Word, we'll have some information about how you can learn more about this ministry and where you can find additional audio messages to listen to. You can join us over on Facebook right now to add some encouragement to your newsfeed and to your day. Just search for Light of Christ Radio or follow the Facebook link at our website, lightofchristradio.com. Well, let us get into God's Word as we begin today's edition of Light of Christ Radio.
Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Tom and Paula Graves.
And this is where we tell a story of the Bible and let it spark some conversation.
We are sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois. To find out more about us, go to lightofchristradio.com. That's lightofchristradio.com.
Today, we continue our series, Festivals Foreshadowing Jesus, with the story of Pentecost from Leviticus 23, Acts 2, and John 14.
Well, Paul, as we begin today, let's look at the context of our story.
As we've seen in the past few weeks, God's calendar foreshadowed what Christ would do for us on the cross.
Jesus died in Passover, was in the grave on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, and rose on the festival of first fruits.
The next festival in God's calendar is called the Festival of Weeks, or Shavuot in Hebrew.
It is known as Pentecost in the Greek, and we will now see how this festival correlates with the cross of Jesus.
Which brings us to a story from the Word of God.
About 50 days after leaving Egypt, the nation of Israel arrived at the foot of Mount Sinai. There God gave the people his law on two tablets. Unfortunately, the people rebelled and built a golden calf idol. As a result, 3,000 people died in God's judgment.
Later, as the people prepared to enter the Promised Land after wandering in the desert, God gave his people a calendar of holy days or festivals in which to honor him.
After the festival of first fruits, they were to count off a week of weeks, or 49 days, and the next day would be a second first fruit offering.
The first had been the barley harvest, and now, 50 days later, they should offer the new grain of the wheat harvest. They were to grind the wheat into fine flour, bake two loaves with leaven, and offer them as a wave offering. The bread was not burned, but waved before the altar and then given to the priests and Levites.
In addition to the bread, they were also to sacrifice seven lambs, a bull, and two rams as burnt offerings. In addition, a male goat was to be offered as a sin offering and two lambs as a peace offering. This day was to be like a Sabbath, where the people did no work, and it was to be a permanent celebration.
And Jesus told his disciples just before he was crucified that he would send them the Holy Spirit. And after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was alive. Just before the ascension,
Jesus told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Then you will take my message to Jerusalem, Judea, and to all the nations."
The disciples were obedient, and 10 days later, during the festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like wind and tongues of fire.
Each disciple began to speak in languages they didn't know. Many people from foreign countries were in town for the festival of Pentecost, and they could understand the gospel message the disciples spoke.
Peter preached, and 3,000 believed and were baptized. And this is our story from the Word of God.
Well, Paul, as we begin to unpack our story today, we want to talk about the Festival of Weeks, also called Shavuot or Pentecost.
And these are all names of the same holiday. But Tom, why are there so many, and why are they kind of confusing?
Well, it is kind of confusing because the Festival of Weeks in the English translation of the Scripture. And Shavuot is the Hebrew for weeks. God's instructions were to celebrate this holy day one day after a week of weeks after Passover. So 7 times 7 plus 1 is 50.
And Pentecost is the Greek name for this same festival because in Greek, penta means 50.
So again, those are just three different names because they're in three different languages.
And Pentecost was another harvest festival, the first fruits of the wheat festival and harvest this time. So, but we have to know that the foundation of the timing of this holy day is Passover.
So the Festival of Weeks would not have been possible if God had not taken his people out of Egypt and placed them in the Promised Land. So this begins what is the celebration.
Yeah, because they had to have their own fields. They couldn't be slaves anymore. They had to have their own fields to have a harvest. And years later, Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit would not have been possible without the death and resurrection of Jesus.
So Jesus would leave this earth, but would send a helper for us. It says in John 14:26, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you."
And Tom, I think many modern Christians are surprised to hear that Pentecost was put into place 1,400 years before Jesus was even born.
Yeah, for most of my life as a young believer, I thought Pentecost was just when the Holy Spirit came.
Yeah.
And that's when it started, but it really goes back to the Old Testament.
And just as Jesus gave new meaning to the Passover, the Festival of Unleavened Bread, and the Festival of First Fruits through his death and resurrection, now, through the giving of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost has a new, deeper meaning because it comes after the cross of Jesus.
Yeah, so it really begins the early church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And it goes back again to this Mount Sinai experience. So 50 days after leaving Egypt, the nation of Israel reached Mount Sinai.
Right. And if we think back even before that, when God had called Moses at the burning bush, God had given him a sign in Exodus 3:12. God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." And that is the mountain that God gave the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai.
So God wanted to meet his people, but the people were frightened of the fire and the smoke of the mountain. So they wanted Moses to meet with them. So Moses went up on the mountain.
Yeah, they sent Moses as a delegate because they were too afraid. But he was up there so long that the people became impatient. And they just assumed, well, maybe Moses had died. And what are they going to do now? So then they decided to build a golden calf to be their new God.
Well, that wasn't really a good idea.
No.
And as a result, God brought judgment, and 3,000 people died because of that sin. So it was pretty serious.
Right. And so there's some more parallels here, because obviously at the giving of the Ten Commandments, there was smoke and fire at this first Sinai experience when the people were too afraid to get close to the mountain. But if we go forward to the day of Pentecost and the falling of the Holy Spirit came with tongues of fire and wind.
So the Holy Spirit enabled Peter, one of the apostles, to preach, and 3,000 people were saved.
Just the opposite of what happened at the golden calf.
Exactly. So the law was given in the original Mount Hebrew experience, reveals the sins that condemn us.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit who came on Pentecost reveals a Savior who saves us. Again, 3,000 people died because they built the golden calf. Peter preaches, and now 3,000 people are saved.
And so God reveals his fulfillment of the Festival of Weeks as he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit couldn't come until Jesus had done his work on the cross, was resurrected and ascended, and then the Holy Spirit could come.
So God designates a specific offering for the Festival of Weeks or Pentecost, which is maybe a little unusual.
Right, because he specifically says that they are to wave two loaves of yeast bread made with the new flour, and he adds some burnt offerings, a sin offering, and a peace offering.
Yeah, in unleavened bread, there was to be no yeast in the bread or homes for 8 days. If this was violated, the person who excluded was excluded from the Jewish community. So what's going on here, Paula?
Well, yeah, it's pretty confusing. One festival, they can't have leaven, and the next one, they're supposed to have it. And we know that leaven is an image of the corruption of sin in Scripture. So as we think about it, God specifically said two loaves of leavened bread. Why do you think that is, Tom?
Well, the law was given on two tablets of stone and revealed the sin of the people. So keep that in mind. The Pentecost offering of two loaves represented the two tablets, and the leaven represented the sin of the people.
So, in addition to these two loaves of bread, there were multiple blood sacrifices. Again, a sin sacrifice and peace sacrifice. So, there was blood shed in these offerings. And we can see that God can only accept a sinful man when there is a blood offering and when peace is made with God. So I think we see this is what Jesus had done for us. He shed his blood so we don't have to continually sacrifice animals. His blood is all sufficient and removes our sin so God can accept us.
So these two loaves, going back to that, foreshadowed the Jews and the Gentiles, that they would come together to form the Christian church. It wasn't just Christians.
Right. And I think that's really significant because at this point, the Jews are very proud that they were the people of God and they were very exclusive of Gentiles. But through what Jesus has done, he grafts the Gentiles into the new church so both groups can come together just like they were two loaves.
Yeah, so they would come together and be believers in Jesus. So instead of the blood of the lambs and the bulls paying the price for their sin, Jesus, the Messiah, had paid the blood price on the cross.
Right. And when we come to Jesus, we come with our sin, or leaven, if you will. But Jesus doesn't leave us there. He forgives us and takes us on a journey of faith. And so after the New Testament Pentecost, both Jews and Gentiles could find cleansing of their sins and new life in Jesus.
So the Pentecost offering pictured the gospel message. Now, Acts chapter 2 offered a new twist on the already familiar offering.
Right, because like we said before, both Jews and Gentiles could come together to Jesus to receive forgiveness of sins. And so we see the giving of the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to preach in various languages so all the people could find cleansing of their sins and a new life in Jesus.
Well, Paula, we need to take a break here. If you want to dig deeper into today's story, we have a free resource. Go to our webpage, lightofchristradio.com.
That's lightofchristradio.com, and click on videos. This will take you to our YouTube page. Our videos are designed for small group discussion.
They contain the context in the story as a movie. Instructions and questions are found in the More section below the video.
We'll have more from today's episode of the Light of Christ Radio Show in just a moment. If you'd like to learn more about this program, visit our website at lightofchristradio.com. You can also continue studying this topic in our daily blog devotional. Check out our Facebook page for more information. Now, here are Pastors Tom and Paula with the conclusion of today's episode.
Well, welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. Paul and I were just discussing this unusual offering of two loaves.
Right, two loaves of yeast bread, which represented sin, and we know that Jesus came to remove our sin. And so as we celebrate Pentecost now, we celebrate a new beginning, which I think even at the very institution of this holy day, there was a new beginning.
Yeah, the Hebrew people went to Egypt as a kind of a small group of families of the 12 sons of Jacob. And but they lived there for 430 years. Most of it, they were slaves.
And by a series of miracles, God brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the law. And so when he does that, he's beginning to make a group of just family people that had started out just as the sons of Jacob into one people, and not even just one people, one nation, as they follow the law and follow God. And so they have a new beginning.
So we see Jesus chose 12 disciples to train so that they could carry on his mission after he returned to heaven. Now, Jesus knew his disciples would need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to carry out the task he had trained them for.
So just before Jesus leaves them, when he ascends into heaven, he told the disciples to go to Jerusalem, and there they were to wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure they knew what that was going to be, but they did. They were obedient, and we see the Holy Spirit falling on the festival of Pentecost.
So this was the beginning of the church of Jesus. This is like the church's birthday. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So the church is growing quite rapidly.
So we know that that was the beginning of the church, but today for us, we get a new beginning and restoration from our sin. And when we believe in Jesus, this happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:21 says, we are carefully joined together in Jesus, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit.
So what you're saying is when we come to faith and place our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
So God changes us into a holy temple for Him as we become part of God's family. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, He's calling you today to place your faith in Jesus.
And we see at the time of the giving of the Holy Spirit that Jerusalem was filled with people. And why would that be? Well, God had commanded His people to come to the temple to celebrate three of the festivals, Passover and Unleavened Bread, because they overlap, Pentecost in the summer, and the Festival of Shelters in the fall.
Yeah, these are known as the pilgrimage festivals, and the population of Jerusalem would swell several times over. So again, there's going to be a lot of people in Jerusalem during these festivals.
And by the time of Jesus, we're obviously in the middle of the Roman Empire, the Jews had spread across this empire. And so if you're a good Jew, you're supposed to show up. But if you're far away, you might only be able to do this once in your life because you wanted to celebrate one of these three festivals. But travel in the early springtime during Passover could be risky because of the unpredictable weather.
Yeah, especially if you're traveling on the Mediterranean, and it was better weather on the Festival of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
So again, by this time, the weather was better, traveling was easier, and this meant at the time of the giving of the Holy Spirit, many of the Jews from all parts of the Roman Empire would have swelled the population of Jerusalem.
In fact, Acts 2, Luke is the writer, he lists some of the nationalities that were present in Jerusalem during this Pentecost festival. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Well, that's like people from parts of all the known world that was then.
So the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples who were uneducated Galileans to speak all these languages so that people could understand the good news of Jesus. Then they would be able to take the good news of Jesus back to their local Jewish communities.
And not only would they take it to their Jewish communities, because most of these far-flung pilgrims lived in Gentile areas, this good news may have also reached the Gentiles that the Jews would come in contact with.
You know, it's interesting, Paul, as we go back to the Old Testament, talking about the Festival of Pentecost, it was to be celebrated from generation to generation.
Yeah, and we mentioned this before. Most 21st century Christians think Pentecost is a New Testament. It just happened at the beginning of the Christian church. But remember, God had told Moses to observe Pentecost back from generation to generation is a continual celebration way back in Leviticus 23.
Yeah, yet most modern Christians don't know about these festivals.
Mm-hmm.
These celebrations kind of have been lost over time, even though God had commanded that they were to be observed for all generations.
Now, today, many churches have a liturgical calendar that was put into place at the end of the 4th century. And this is a time when they were formalizing church structure, and there was a definite divide between the Jewish and the Christian discarded much of the Jewish traditions.
So godly men attempted to honor God through celebrations throughout the year.
Right. And in our current liturgical calendar, it was put in place for good reason.
So we do have some parallels with the Jewish festivals as we celebrate Jesus' crucifixion and the resurrection at the same time as the festival of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits.
At least Pentecost is still celebrated. And unfortunately, like we said before, most don't realize that this celebration was put into place 1,400 years before Jesus was born.
Yeah, so knowing the origins of our celebration of Pentecost really adds to the awe of, wow, God has a plan.
Yeah, from the beginning, He was working this through. Even if the people didn't understand it, we can see it in hindsight. And not only did the Festival of Pentecost have all these things we've already talked about, but at the end of God's instructions for this celebration, He also gave instructions for what we might call biblical welfare.
Yeah, it says in Leviticus 23, verse 22, when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God.
And we remember that Pentecost marked the end of the wheat harvest. It would have been a time where people would have been, it had bounty. It was like our Thanksgiving, the harvest had brought in. But God always cares about his people, and he had commanded the Jews to remember the poor. Now, it's interesting how they did their giving to the poor. They didn't just send grain to the people. No, they allowed the people to harvest the grain that had fallen off or that was in the corners of the field.
Yeah, and this really allowed the poor to maintain their dignity and purpose while still obtaining food as they harvested what was left in the fields. So it was really better for the people that were poor to go out and do something for the food they were gathering.
Right, and I think this is a lesson for us today in how we do our welfare. And if we want to learn more, we can look at the book of Ruth, because this really tells how the story of this biblical welfare worked. Now, Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, were widows, and in that day, they didn't have any means of support.
So Ruth went out into the fields of Boaz and was able to harvest grain to take home. Thus, Ruth could feed herself and also her mother-in-law, Naomi.
And by doing this, as a result of her gleaning, Boaz noticed Ruth because she was a hard worker, and eventually he marries her.
Yeah, from that marriage came a son, Obed, who would be the grandfather of King David. So it was very significant.
And King David was an ancestor of Jesus himself. So if we look at the time, Roman society had very little respect for the poor. But Christians, on the other hand, saw each person as a child of God with worth, and they took care of the poor.
Yeah, as it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. So throughout history, Christians have taken care of those on the margins of society.
If we look historically, Christians have been the ones responsible to build hospitals and orphanages. And they've done this because they desired to serve God by serving others.
And by this process of biblical welfare has brought many people to faith in Jesus Christ, even in today's world.
And so, Tom, as we end, the fourth holy day of Leviticus 23 is the Festival of Weeks or Pentecost.
It celebrated the wheat harvest and the giving of the law on Mount Sinai.
The required offering was two loaves of leavened bread and multiple blood sacrifices.
These two loaves were images of the two tablets of the law that showed the people their sin.
And this offering foreshadowed the two groups, Jew and Gentile, that would come sinful to Jesus but be cleansed by his blood on the cross.
The Mount Sinai experience was a new beginning for the nation of Israel, and the giving of the Holy Spirit was a new beginning for the Christian church.
Pentecost is not just a New Testament celebration, but its long history foreshadowed what would happen on the Pentecost of Acts 2.
Well, Paula, that's all the time we have today for Light of Christ Radio. At Light of Christ Radio, we want to encourage you. Do you need a positive start for your day?
We have a daily devotional blog based on the story of the week. These are designed to encourage you on your journey of faith. To access these, simply go to lightofchristradio.com.
That's lightofchristradio.com and click on blog. Light of Christ Radio is sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois.
Be blessed.
This is the Light of Christ.
Are you new to studying the Bible? You're not alone, and we want you to know that we're glad you joined us today for Light of Christ Radio. We pray that you've learned something new today and that each edition you join us for brings you closer and closer to a new life that's only found in Jesus. Do you have any questions or would you like some more information about who we are and what we believe? If so, visit lightofchristradio.com today. You can join us over on Facebook right now to add some encouragement to your newsfeed and to your day. Just search for Light of Christ Radio or follow the Facebook link at our website. That's lightofchristradio.com. We've also created a resource if you're studying along with us in a small group setting. Visit YouTube and search for LOC Radio. There you'll have access to short videos and discussion questions to accompany each radio show. We're adding more and more videos all the time, so be sure to subscribe and be notified of the latest content. We'd also like to encourage you to find a local church that teaches the Bible and will support you as you grow in your faith. If you've enjoyed today's message, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next update. You'll find a link to that on the homepage. And be sure to join Pastors Tom and Paula Graves next time for another edition of Light of Christ Radio.
This is the Light of Christ. Who needs a hand, a meal, or a word? Who needs love touched or reassured? Like the sun rises and the darkness disappears, a need that's made.